I was just thinking when we were putting this service together, we had a number of things in mind, but what came to my spirit was that God just said, look, this service is for me. This service is for me, not me, act for him. I know when we gather anyway, we gather for Christ on the Sundays or whenever we meet, but not quite sure why he said this service is for me. By now know that it's because he just wanted us to really reflect on the actual cross, the actual thing that brings all of us together, which is the cross of Christ. I'm just going to talk about one or two, point out a number of things for about 15 or so minutes, then we will just carry on. But it's a reflective service today. Now, I'm going to be talking about something I've called Because of You. We'll look at that today and on Sunday as well. Because of You. I'm going to read a story from the book of Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read 32 to 33, then 39 to 43. It says, two men, both criminals, were also led with him to be executed. When they got to the place called the Skull, another version calls it Golgotha, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. That's rebuked the other criminal, saying, don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. I just have a number of points to make this evening. And the first thing we see here in the life of Jesus and how he deals with people is Jesus sees the crowd, he sees the whole world, he sees the billions and billions of people that are on earth, in every nook and corner of the earth. So there are times you might be like, man, I think God's a bit too busy for me. My issue is just like this little thing in my house. Surely God has more important things to do than that. So we think of God in a very big sense, which is true. But looking at the life of Jesus and how he did some of the things that he did, I realized and I noticed that he would go and meet individuals as well. On Sunday, we'll look at another individual he went to meet. So he would leave the crowd, then go and meet one individual. Or there are times that he's just going on a journey and he gets diverted and he concentrates on one person. So I see that over and over and over again in the scripture, that God isn't interested in just us as a group. He's interested in us that way, but he's particularly interested in the individual as well. And I see that in scripture. Now, I'll make a number of points here, but going back to the story I've just read now about these criminals that were nailed together with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Now, mind you, before they got to the cross, Jesus had gone through a horrific time. The Bible said he had been flogged with a whip of thorns. I watched this film once. In fact, I almost switched it off when I was watching this film, Passion of the Christ. And I was like, oh man, this is too much for me to watch. And he had been flogged with this whip of thorns. Now, a whip of thorns that the Romans did in those days was like a leather whip with different strips of leather. And on each piece of leather, they would intertwine it with broken glass and metal and sharp bones in there. And what they did with that piece of leather was they stripped you naked and put you on a stock. You held that stock. They tied your hand to it. And they would put that whip on that individual. The whip would wrap around that individual and they would pull it. So the bones, the glass would rip out the skin of that individual. They did that to Jesus 39 times. He carried the cross. But he didn't die because he knew that he had to get to that cross. Most people would have died. He was exhausted, humiliated. The people that he had fed, the people he had healed. The Bible says once he fed 5,000 people, at least, men. He healed so many people. And as he was going to the cross, some of these people were saying, heal yourself, deliver yourself. They abused him. They threw all sorts of insults at him. And I was just thinking that, man, if it was me, I'd have just said, you know, God, let me just take a break from all this. Oh, yeah, let me take a break. I mean, it's not, I didn't cause these people to be in this position. So Jesus could have easily just opted out and gone his way, because really, if he did that, no problem for him. But you know what? He didn't. He didn't opt out. Why? Because of you and I. Because of you and I. So what am I saying this evening as we reflect on what Christ has done for us? The first thing I want to say here is that God sees you. And that is so important. You're not invincible to God. You're not just some girl or some guy in the corner. And maybe once in a while, when God has time for you, when the request on his table is not that much, he might just pay you a visit, or he puts your request or your life at the bottom of the pile amongst the billions of people. And you know, if he gets through to it fast enough, yours will come up. No. He was on the cross dying. In those days, the Romans made the execution on the cross the most horrific thing that you could ever think about. And they used it as an example to discourage people from rebelling. And they hung them by the city gate so that as you're going past the city gate, it's like maybe you're driving out of Bristol. Where's the city gate here in Bristol? Let's say the M32 entrance, exit 19. As you're coming in, you know, the MPs say these people are a bit, this is just an analogy. These people are a bit troublesome in Bristol. Let's do something that's going to discourage people from messing about with us. And they nail a couple of people on the cross by M32. So that as you're driving in, you see the horror of these people. And the cross was like this. It was the instrument of the cross was, you know, like a cross. They put you down on it. They crossed your feet together and they put a sharp nail in there. Then on your arms, they would put a nail in there, nail that one there, nail that one there. And that was intentional. The whole idea was this, that if you allow the weight to be on both of your arms, it will put pressure on your lungs and suffocate you. That's what it was meant to do. So instinctively, you wouldn't want to be suffocated, right? Because you're like, Then you would push yourself up, your feet nailed to the cross. You didn't have like a thing underneath to stand. It was the cross thing. So any position you took was a painful one. And the whole idea was that they would leave you like that, you know, going between those two, you know, do I suffocate and all that for a few hours. They'll give you like 6 hours and everybody passing would hear you screaming, shouting. And they'd be like, man, I don't want to mess with the Romans at all. Till that individual died. All right? Now, Jesus has gone through a lot. People are abusing him. They've taken him for granted. They've hauled insults at him. He has been whipped, flogged, all those things. Do you get what I mean? Now, if you had been in that position and someone now said, Jesus, remember me. I'd be like, dude, I'm not even in the mood for that. I'm dying. I've been flogged. My body is in pieces. Remember what? Look, I don't have to. Let me just die quietly. No. Jesus, in the depth of his pain, looked at that man and said with his breath, surely today you will be with me in paradise. In the midst of the pain of Jesus, he saw this man. He saw this man. So God is not in that kind of pain at the moment. So the thing we want to realize is that God sees you and I. God sees you and I. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. It says, the Lord appeared to me in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So we see that the first thing here is this. Jesus saw you and I, that look, I don't want these guys to end up in hell. And he undertook that intense pain, humiliation. Why? Because he sees you. The second point I want to make this evening is that Jesus chose to lay down his life. He wasn't forced to do it. He wasn't captured. I mean, he was apprehended, but he could have just escaped. He laid down his life and he chose to do that despite all the pain he knew he was going to face. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, before the soldiers came to get him. He says, going further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not I, but as you will. Jesus chose to lay his life down, and he saw the agony that he was going to face. But he said, well, all the same, I am still going to do this. I remember a long time ago, this thing still sticks with me. I was quite a young guy then, I don't know, 10, 11. I was in secondary school, and we went on this trip, this mountain climbing thing. Hills and all that, like school, you know, it was optional. But I was like, I always imagined myself as a real mountaineer then. And I remember as being a young guy, we went up this, there were like several hills. We went up the first hill. It was okay. We went up the second hill. It was steep. At that point, I think I was about 9 or 10. I was about 10. I remembered and I said, man, I can't do this anymore. But you know what? I couldn't go back down by myself either. So I had to brave it out and climb all the other hills with the people that were there. At that point, I was like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, why am I even here in the first place? I said to myself. So Jesus had the option as well. He said, God, do I have to really do this? He could have just said, look, I've had enough. Let these people sort themselves out. But he said, no, I will continue. I will do this. I will do this. So Jesus chose to lay his life down for us. I'm saying all these things for us because as we reflect, I want us to really reflect on what Jesus going to the cross really means. It was not like, it was not pleasant at all. So even though it was not pleasant, even though it was a brutal, very brutal experience for Jesus, he had a choice. And he made the choice still, knowing how terrible and difficult it would be to go ahead with it. Why? Because of you. Because of me. So we see Jesus going through this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. It says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds were healed. So Jesus was punished for you and I. But he chose that path because of you. And because of me. And the third and final point that I'm going to read, then we'll pray. The thief was on the cross beside Jesus. The other one was beside him on the left as well. And there's a portion of scripture that says, maybe peradventure, Jesus was saying, you might lay down your life for a friend. Maybe you have a very good friend, and that friend is going through a lot. And you're like, man, I feel for this, my friend. How I wish I could, I wish there was something I could do to help. I might even want to give up my own, you know, I can probably give an arm or a left or a leg for this person. Why? Because they're your friend. Or maybe your child, for example, they need something. And you're like, wow, I'll give up anything for my child. I can even give them an arm. Jesus said, peradventure, for people that you love and people who love you, yes, you might be willing to pay the price, to give your life for them. How about the people who you have nothing to do with? They're not related to you, you know? They don't owe you any favors. You don't owe them any favors. You don't even know them. And they're saying, would you lay down your life for me? You'd be like, who are you? I don't even know you. I'm not even going to. I don't know. Who are you, by the way? But you know what? The third point I'm making this evening, and we'll pray, is this. We did not deserve what Jesus did for us. The criminal on the cross did not deserve anything from Jesus. Jesus didn't know him. Jesus could have said, well, sorry, you put yourself here. He could have asked him, so by the way, why are you here? Why? I know I'm here because, you know, I'm paying the price for humanity. You stole. What did you steal? What did you steal? Why did you steal? Why are you here? Why didn't you live a proper life? Why didn't you behave? Why didn't you act? You know how those Romans, why didn't you live an honest life? If not, you wouldn't be here. Jesus didn't ask him that. You know, Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't ask him, did you come to church last Sunday? That's just a generic question. I don't think you are, you know, I suspect that you're one of those people that are just like goofing around. You haven't taken your life seriously. Jesus didn't ask him that. So the third thing we see here about Jesus is this. Everything he did for us on the cross to reconcile us back to God, he did not because we deserve it. And he made a point by answering that thief that was beside him to say, today you will be with me in paradise. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So this evening, as we just reflect on Good Friday, we reflect on the cross, we realize that Jesus sees you and I. You're not just one in billions that he'll get to when he has time. No, he sees you as an individual all the time. He chose to lay down his life. He wasn't forced to do it for you and I. And number three, he did that not because of anything that we have done or can ever do to deserve what he has done for us. So as we reflect on that, I just want us to know that anytime we feel like, oh man, what's this Jesus thing? Why are you remember this? Amen.